You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement. If you all would join me with this, a reminder of who Jesus is and how Jesus' work in our lives and in our world transforms who we are and where we're going. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus as his follower. He determines what I do. Amen. Thank you. We are continuing through our conversation about the inner life. The inner life. Last week we talked about this idea of struggling with silence. When we get alone with the Lord, when we get alone with Scripture, what do I do with sometimes that deafening noise on the inside? Sometimes I'm afraid of that silence because I am not sure what I'm going to hear God say in my life, or I'm not sure really if I want to face what's on the inside. But with Jesus taking me by the hand and taking you by the hand, he leads us into those deep places in our lives and is able to bring forth the goodness and the greatness that God has designed and planned and implanted inside of each of us. That's not always easy to do. It's hard to be still. It's hard to be silent. It's hard to listen. It's hard to cultivate that listening to the still small voice of God's Spirit inside. But what's beautiful is when we have those moments when we are able to hear, and we are able to see, and we are able to sit. One of the things throughout the Scriptures that we see is example after example of people who had a whole bunch of different experiences with God. And they heard God, and they saw God, and they experienced God. And there's this, in many different ways, many different places. You ever heard a burning bush speak to you? I want to let you know that there are bushes all around us that are on fire. There are bushes all around us on fire, and they're just waiting for us to stop and to listen to what God is speaking through that burning bush. There are crashing waves upon the sand that is reminding us that God's faithfulness, the tide comes in, the tide goes out. God is speaking through creation and nature to our very heart of hearts. One of the ways that we can hear God and know God and receive that instruction deep inside of our hearts and lives is through Scripture. But the battle sometimes is Scripture just staying up here in my mind versus Scripture actually being alive and burning and on fire in my heart and in my life. And there's those moments where I feel that smolder and I smell that smolder. You ever heard of or smelled a fire that was just about to go out, or a candle that had been blown out, but there was still just that little bit of a glow, a little bit of an ember? It can be kind of nasty. We have a smoke detector that likes to get set off real easily. And sometimes in our lives when it's smoldering and just smoke is coming off of it like crazy, it sets off the smoke alarm. It's something that I don't appreciate and I don't want in my life. But we have these beautiful words about Christ, that Christ doesn't look at a smoldering wick and say, oh, that's useless or that's worthless. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus comes with the life and the light and the fire and the heat sometimes to bring that smoldering wick back to life in my life. And God's word can be a part of that process and should be a part of that process, not just something that I keep my mental furniture arranged in my mind, but that I'm allowing that wick on the inside in my heart, that inner life, to come back to life. We've all experienced a snuff. You know what a snuff is? It's when that wick gets pinched or blown out. We feel like, what's left? I don't have anywhere to go. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And Jesus invites us to sit with him and to allow him to bring the fire into our lives in those situations. This morning I want to talk a little bit about what it means for us to come to God's Word, not for information, not just for something we have in our mind. So when someone asks a question, I have an answer right away to give, but to come to Scripture to find my daily guidance, my life, my living, breathing flame and fire that moves me and that brings light into my moments of darkness and the moments of darkness, pain and suffering of those that I love and those that I am involved with in their lives. Let's watch a quick little video clip this morning about how God speaks through the Scriptures, and then we're going to do it. We're going to listen. We're going to take time to say, God, what do you have to speak to me through? Just a couple very simple verses. God, how do you speak through the Scriptures?
There really are two approaches to reading the Bible, one for inspiration, one for information, and both of them are important. You know, I read the Bible for information when I want to know, where did Jesus go? How did he spend his time? What exactly does this word mean that Jesus used? That's helpful information. But inspiration says, now Lord, which verse out of the Beatitudes are you wanting to really hit me with today? What part of Colossians are you wanting to use today to really impact me? I think if we start our Bible reading time with this prayer, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart through these words. And then we read until something hits us. Then we can trust that the Holy Spirit has designated, targeted us with that passage of Scripture. And then you're reading for inspiration.
Learning to distinguish the voice of God from just human voices within us comes in much the same way that we learn any other voice. You know, there's a tone to a voice. Satan pushes and condemns. God draws and encourages, and we can know the difference. And then there's a spirit in a voice, isn't there? You remember it was said of Messiah that he would not break a bruised reed, nor quench a smoldering wick. You see, Jesus would never snuff out the smallest hope, never crush the needy. And that's the spirit that we look for in the voice of God. And then third, there's the content of the voice. And in the final analysis, that is the most clear evidence. You see, the voice of God, the Dabar Yahweh, is always consistent with the way God has spoken in the past. And so Scripture then becomes a primary means by which we understand God speaking to us today. It will always be consistent with the way he has spoken in the past.
Sometimes the longest distance in our spiritual journey is that 18 inches from our head, getting it down into our heart. And the power of this contemplative prayer, this inner life, is it takes this knowledge, which is all the facts and figures, and it makes it wisdom by applying it.
Can you think about how God must feel when a Christian comes into his presence reading the 23rd Psalm? Lord, you are my shepherd. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters, all for your name's sake. I think when we say those things back to God, as the author of those words, he's delighted, and the silence confirms that we are people, and we're talking, and God's listening. But the best times are when God starts talking, and we're quiet enough to hear him.
When I'm reading the Bible, I will at times have an impression like that verse is exactly what God wants me to hear today. It will be maybe a verse that would not connect with anyone else, but it's a verse that the Lord had set apart for me. It's a verse that kind of catches my eye. It doesn't let me move forward, which is an exciting thought, because the Bible says that the Bible is alive, that the Word of God is alive and active, which makes it different than any other literature that exists on the face of the earth. It becomes then like a glove to a surgeon, that God can put his hand in that Bible and reach up and touch you with those words. And if that's the case, That means that when that word touches me, that's God touching me in that word.
2 Timothy 3 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. And that means that every single word on that paper has come fresh out of the mouth of God. What I try to remember every single time I read scripture is that it still has the warmth of God's breath on it. You can't separate the words of God from the mouth of God, or you've just got sterile words sitting on a page. God's word is different than that. It's the very word out of his mouth. Therefore, it comes with a fresh breath. And because it's eternal, that means time is not attached to it. So it's as fresh today to me as it was the day it came out of his mouth and onto the paper. That's the way I look at it.
The word of God is used three ways in the Bible. First, there is the Dabar, Yahweh, that speaking word of life God spoke and created. Then there's Jesus, who is the word of God in flesh. And then there is the word of God written, scripture. And you see, God uses the Bible to speak into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirits, what we need to receive.
My life verse is Hebrews 4:12 that says, God's word is alive and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. I love that because what it's saying to me is that when God speaks his word over me, and that's what he's doing, when he determined that he would have his word down on paper, it was to us, not just so he could hear his own voice. This was his way of making sure that his people could hear his voice at any time we're listening. When people tell me that they can't hear God, that God's not speaking to them, I always want to say the same thing. Do you have a Bible? That's God speaking to you.
The practice of contemplative prayer can be a vital part of our everyday lives, but we must make time for it.
This week I was reminded of Mother Teresa. Do y'all know the story of Mother Teresa? Her journals, her diaries have been read and turned into kind of a biography of her life. And something that was such a surprise to everyone who read her journals after she passed away was that she had this experience before she went to Calcutta to work with the poorest of the poor. And it was like one of those God experiences, like you know that you know that you know that God spoke to you. And she left the place that she was, the people that she was, the connections that she had. It was a life-changing experience with God. Y'all ever had a life-changing experience with God? It's something that really shifts and changes everything. She felt so close to God in her life. It was, you couldn't argue her out of it. There was just no way for her not to say that she knew God's love in her life. Nothing could change that. And then for the next 50 years or so, her journals say that she didn't hear God. She didn't feel that God loved her. In obedience, she followed God's love and God's call in her life. And yet, for the next, it scares me to death to actually say this, 50 years, she didn't feel that God was talking to her, speaking to her. She obeyed. And she moved. And yet, in faith, she continued to trust that the God who she had experienced of love in her life was still there, still with her. She continued to practice her silence and her solitude, her scripture reading, and then working with the poorest of the poor. So there are times in my life where I look at myself and my experience with God, and I kind of scratch my head and I say, it's kind of been a long time since I had a big, thus saith the Lord moment. You know what I'm saying? But I'm reminded there are men and there are women who have had a thus saith the Lord moment in their lives and responded to that and continued to respond even though they might not have had the warm fuzzies every day of their life or every week of their life or every month of their life or every year of their life or between a span of many years. Once you've had that change, once you've had that interaction, that connection with God, things shift, things change in our lives for the better. So this morning, as we stop and we listen to Scripture, which we're going to do that, we're going to take some time and listen to Scripture together and listen to what God's Spirit wants to speak to us through this Scripture, I want each of us to be reminded that if you're in a dry time right now or a dark time or an uncertain time, you're not alone. There's probably somebody sitting next to you who is also in that same place. If you're here and you're like, I'm hearing God, we're clicking down the railroad tracks and life is really fresh and alive, send some love to your brothers and sisters who are sitting next to you, because we all need some encouragement sometimes in our lives. It's called a practice of listening. I have to practice every week, sometimes every day, to listen to my wife. I was reminded this week, actually yesterday, Daddy, remember when you said da-da-da-da-da, and I said da-da-da-da-da, and Theodosia and the kids are looking at me at this moment, and I'm like, I don't think I was listening when you said da-da-da-da-da, and I responded, but I don't even remember what I said when I responded. Sometimes we hear, but we don't listen to what we're hearing, and so this is an opportunity for us to listen to what God is speaking to each of our hearts this morning. The ancient way of praying, this is over 1,000 years old, that followers of Jesus were going to Scripture and listening, is called Lectio Divina or Lecto Divina. And you start off by reading slowly, by meditating, reflecting on what this passage, this short Scripture, has to say to me. And then take time to pray. What is my action or my response to what is being directed to me in my heart, my life? And then lastly, opening up our hearts in silent love or thankfulness towards God and just being with God, sitting in God's presence. Sometimes I feel God's presence and sometimes I don't. But regardless, I know that I am sitting with Jesus, because Jesus is always what? Sitting with me. Because Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And we come to Scriptures with that reminder. Today I'm going to give each of you a little handout that has this 4 points of going deeper with Scripture and going deeper in my prayer life. It's important that we have people who are listening to God around us. But never let that be a substitute for you listening to God. It's important that you have people in your life who are listening to God around you, who can encourage you. But that is never a substitute for me stopping and listening to what God has to say in my life. So I want you all to just kind of get comfortable. If you will, find a comfortable spot in your chair. We're going to bless our sisters and brothers of mercy and safety as they're going to help some folks in need. So if you would, and feel comfortable, you can just close your eyes for a moment. If you fall asleep and are fighting sleep, it's okay. Just let Jesus know that you're tired and He'll say, I already know. Say, it's okay. I'm going to give you some rest, even in this moment for your soul, some refreshment. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture and then have a few words of direction for us. Whenever I pause to just listen to the Lord and listen to what Scripture has to speak to me, I always let the distractions go. I'll silence my cell phone. I'll get in a place and I'll take a time where I can be quiet. Sometimes you gotta let the ambulance or fire trucks go by as well. Again, this is not a moment or a time for us to try to gain a particular amount of information. It's just time to be with our God, with our Savior, with the Spirit of life that's in us, and just to listen during these moments together. It's a non-fact-finding exercise. It's a reaction to what the Spirit wants to teach us about this text we're going to look at in Psalm 73. So if you feel comfortable closing your eyes and just taking a couple deep breaths, just to kind of relax your mind and your body and your heart, we're all going to listen together to this passage that Jesus wants to speak into our hearts and our lives. As we begin, I want you to just imagine that God is looking at you, because God is looking at you right now. But He's looking at you with a very special fondness in the eye. God is looking at you with kindness as you prepare to receive God's word into your heart. I want you to just notice any words or phrases that might catch your attention from Psalm 73. And we're going to read this a couple times this morning together. Just in a prayerful, meditative, receiving state in our minds and in our hearts. Jesus, we come to you and we ask that you would show us what it means to be your children. We trust that you will surround us with your light. You will keep any darkness or any evil away from us. We trust that we'll only hear the pure words of life that you have to speak to us this morning. Help us to be non-judgmental of ourselves and to give ourselves a little bit of space when we have a squirrel race across our minds. Help us to just come back to the picture that you're painting for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Listen as I read Psalm 73, verse 23 through 26. God says, I am always with you. You say in response, you hold my hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Take a moment and reflect on those words or phrases that might have caught your attention. Now I will read the passage again. Meditate on the words or the phrases and what they may be saying specifically to your circumstances in life. God says, I am always with you. You respond with, you hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What do you think it means when it says, whom have I in heaven but you? Can you identify with this morning these words, my flesh and my heart may fail? What does this scripture passage say to you today? As we read the passage a third time, ask what action God may be inviting you toward. What is your response to these words? God says, I am with you always. I say, you hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Take a few moments and ask God to lead you in using this passage of Scripture in your life. Now let's take a few moments and express our love towards God. If you get distracted, just focus on your breathing. Remember, God breathed life, and man and woman became living souls. Just focus on that continual breath of God that we receive. If thoughts invade your mind, greet them and then send them on their way as you return your attention to God's breath inside of you. Take time, express your love towards God. May this time of divine reading open our hearts to the movement of God in our lives. God not only breathed and humanity became alive, but God continues to breathe His words into us and His life. Father in heaven, we thank you and we receive what you have to speak to us this morning. Remind us that you're always speaking, and guide us in what it means to be still and know that you're God and to receive your direction for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If y'all would join me, let's read this passage one last time together. Psalm 73, verse 23 through 26. God says, I am always with you. I say, you hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Again, each of us have a choice to surround ourselves with fellow God listeners, fellow God talkers. But that's never a substitute for listening and talking to God. What a beautiful treasure we have when Jesus invites us to receive Him into our hearts and to come and to be with us. His presence always, never leaving us or forsaking us. It was over probably 12 years ago, 13 years ago, that I had a professor challenge me and a group of fellow students to not just read the Bible for information, but to read it for information and for it to conform us from the inside out. And as a young seminarian, I was looking for really cool facts and information that was gonna wow and impress people. So when I first heard it presented, I was kind of like, yeah, that's nice. Maybe someday I'll get there. But you ever feel that pulling and that drawing in a particular direction? You don't always know where it's coming from or where it's going to take you, but I started to feel that pulling and that drawing. And I started to practice that silence in my life and that listening. Something that I've learned is that there's never a time in my life that I'll come to being able to say, I got it. I got it figured out. I know how to listen to God. I know how to be still and know. Because every time is a little bit different, and each time there are little bumps in the road, there are little hiccups. Sometimes I struggle more than others. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm actually hearing God or that I haven't actually maybe even had God hear me in those moments. But through and through, I continue to follow the breadcrumbs. And you know what I find? Each step along the way, I grow a little bit more. And I experience a little bit more peace. I experience a little bit more love and joy and hope in my life as a result of just sitting with the Word, sitting with the author of the Word, just being willing to listen, not having an agenda. Some days I really struggle with it. Some days I'm really frustrated with it because I really want to hear something like back in my early seminary days. I want to have something that I can impress people with. Wow, Ryan got an awesome insight. Wow, I never heard that before. Wow, I never thought of that before. And Jesus is just like, hey, will you just come sit with me and hang out? Do you love me just for being with me? Because I love you and just want to be with you. Let's pray this as our closing prayer together this morning. We'll be dismissed with this psalm. God says, I am always with you. I say, you hold my hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.